As we prepare for our reading from God's Word from the Gospel of John, let's pray together our prayer for illumination. Prepare our hearts, O God, to hear your Word and obey your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So kids, no video for you today. You get me. I want to say to the kids at home, what did we hear from Jesus? He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love is one of those funny words that we use a lot. For my kids at home, one of the things that we say every night before we go to bed is, I love you, because we want to remind each other of the love that is present. But sometimes we don't do the right thing, right? Kids don't do the right thing. Parents don't do the right thing, believe it or not. Sometimes we mess up too. So does that mean then that God doesn't love us anymore? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, if we don't keep the commandments, does that mean that we don't love Jesus? Well, no, of course not. Of course we love Jesus, and Jesus knows that we mess up sometime. And that's the reason why Jesus says to them, he's going to send them a helper, someone to help them out. Now, we have helpers sometimes, right? Helpful reminders of what we are supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. Maybe a checklist of behaviors, maybe some chores or something like that. We might get helpful reminders throughout the day. It's not time to turn on the TV yet, or, you know, make sure you dot all of your I's and cross all of your T's or complete all of your work. We have those helpers that come along aside of us to help us remember what we're supposed to do. And Jesus says that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit helps us to remember the things that we are supposed to do. But most of all, the Holy Spirit reminds us each day of how much we are loved by God and by Jesus. So thanks be to God for that. Let's pray. God, we thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit to be someone who is our helper, who reminds us of what we're supposed to do, but most of all reminds us of who we are, and that is your children. So thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us. And now, Lord, as we transition into talking about some other things, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. True love is the title of today's sermon. It's fitting somewhat that in my reading this morning, someone wrote a blog, a meditation about 1 Corinthians 13, which is, of course, the passage that most people think of when they think of love, right? You know, raise your hand in your home or here in the sanctuary if you've ever heard at a wedding someone read 1 Corinthians 13, right? Yep. For those of you who can't see, all five of us here in the room are raising your hands, and likely everyone watching at home is raising your hand as well. It's considered the love passage, right? Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it doesn't boast, it doesn't hate, all these things. And boy, it's a reminder to us, isn't it, of the power of love. It's not just a Huey Lewis and the News song, but it's an actual thing, right? The power of love. But I want us to focus a little bit on something different this morning. Love is not just warm feelings. Love is not just the passion that you feel for another person or something, like, boy, I am passionate for baseball and I can't wait for it to come back. I'm really passionate about the Dallas Cowboys and I have my fingers crossed that the season is going to start on time. I have warm, loving feelings toward my kids, right? I have warm, loving feelings towards my wife and my parents and our church members. But Jesus says love is more than just feelings. Jesus says, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. Which is both descriptive and prescriptive. Okay? So when Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, he's both saying, if you love me, then you should keep my commandments. But also, the love that you have for me will cause you to keep my commandments. When you really love someone, when you really love something, you show your devotion by action. Love is a verb in this case. Jesus asks Peter after the denial, when after Jesus has been raised from the dead, he asks Peter three times, do you love me? And each time when Peter responds that he does, Jesus gives him a command. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, be a leader, right? There's action involved. Jesus says, don't just love me with your lips. Love me with your entire being. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But we need help with this, don't we? Because as I mentioned before in the service, we're sinners. We are a work in progress. We have been saved. Our place in heaven is secure. We don't need to worry about that because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And yet, we still sin. And yet, there's still evil present in the world. It doesn't matter how few cars there are on the road, I'm still going to get behind the one person who doesn't know how to use a turn signal. And my bad feelings will still rise up in me. I love Jesus. I want to keep the commandments, and yet my body keeps rebelling. And my hand keeps wanting to push on the horn. And so we need some help with this. And Jesus knew it. He's sitting with his disciples. This is part of that farewell discourse, by the way. The part where Jesus sits around the table, and Paul tells us on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples. He washes the disciples' feet, and that includes, by the way, Judas, who sells him out to the chief priests, and Peter, who denies him three times, and all the other disciples who abandon him in his time of need. He knows the fools that he's sitting around with, and he loves them anyway. And so he promises them another paraclete. There's your Greek word of the day, friends. Paraclete. Which can mean a whole host of things. Advocate, counselor, helper. You might think of a paraclete as an attorney, right? Your defense attorney. The one who is going to stand up and speak for you when speaking for yourself is not a good idea. Right? I came across a story this week on the internet, so it has to be true. I mean, what else are you going to do but browse the internet for these things? No baseball games to go to. Story about a defense attorney who files a motion to dismiss the case because of lack of evidence against his client. And the judge decides not to act on the motion to dismiss the case, but instead calls for a recess so he can consider it, and court is dismissed. And when the judge pounds the gavel, the defendant stood up and said, "See, I told you I could get away with stealing that stuff." We need an advocate to speak for us when speaking for ourselves would not be wise, right? There's a reason why lawyers get paid as much as they do, because they know the right words to say. And we need a helper. This has been Jesus for the disciples, by the way, because that advocacy, that counselor, it goes both ways. Jesus has been teaching his disciples. He's been teaching them the words that God has given to him. That's what he says. He says, we looked at this last week, right? He says, "Because you have seen me, you have also seen my Father." Right? The advocacy, Jesus is the presence of God to the disciples, to the earth, to the world. And he's been helping them to understand who God is. And he is advocating for them back to the Father. As we'll see next week when we take a look at John 17, Jesus prays for his disciples back to the Father as well. So it goes both ways. Jesus is both paraclete for the disciples and for the earth on behalf of God, speaking for God, and also turning around and being paraclete on behalf of the people back to God. And Jesus says, "I am going to send another paraclete who is the Spirit of truth, who will be with you when I am not. The world won't recognize him, but you will. Because you've seen me, because I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you, the Spirit of truth is in you as well." It's funny, Jesus promises something that he says has been there all along. Because Jesus has been speaking to them close enough that they can smell his breath. No social distancing here, right? We said a few weeks ago, "Breathe on me, breath of God," might be a bad choice of a song to sing when you're talking about wearing masks and social distancing. But Jesus has been breathing on them this entire time. And all of these words, all of this life that's being poured into them is the Holy Spirit into their midst. And Jesus says, the Spirit is another advocate, someone to be with you when I am not. And so we get back to the concept of love then. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, that's actually too far. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. These are people who are loved by the Father, who are loved by Jesus. And the presence of the Holy Spirit signals that we are loved by God as well. And that love compels us to action. Christian theologians have been writing for centuries about the good works that we do being evidence of the Spirit of God present with us. Because without the Spirit, we couldn't do anything. That's what the doctrine, the Reformed doctrine of total depravity, is all about. It's not that we are exceedingly worse than other people. The total part of it is that we are totally unable to do good without the presence of God in our midst. And so when we act charitably toward one another, when we give sacrificially of what we have, when we help another person in need, when we deny our own rights to march around close to other people with masks off because we believe that it's our own God-given liberties to do so, we go around infecting other people. When we don't do that, when we instead remember to put our masks on and stay 6 feet away from each other, that's the Spirit of God present in us. So a few weeks ago, we asked the question, how can you see God in the world? We had asked the kids to walk around as they take their walks, to draw pictures and things. Well, we get a clue to this here in John, telling us that when we see good, when we see Christ's commandments being followed, we see evidence of God present in humanity through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And we have that word again, by the way, abide, meno. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's true love, friends. The Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts, causing us to think compassionately, to think with justice and mercy and kindness, to fulfill the will of God in our world. And so, my friends, as you go into the world and do what it is you do, social distanced, on the front lines, teaching, helping, living out your life in mission to God, remember that you're not alone, but the promised Spirit dwells within you as advocate, counselor, helper, and friend. True love from God, from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we thank you for sending your Spirit to be our advocate, to speak for us when words we cannot form, and to speak to us your will for our lives, for our world. Help us to put our faith and our trust in you always. Help us to demonstrate your love to a world that needs to know the true meaning of that word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today, the words of an ancient belief statement of the church, the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.